What's going on, Foodie Fam? It's your main man, Dame Drops. We are taking it to the next level with Dame Comic Action. It's going to be called Superficial. It's going to be the most superficial comic book that's going to hit the streets. And I want you guys to get on the pre-launch of this joint right now. So go to damecomic.com. That's DAYMCOMIC.com. Put your email address up in there. Get ready for that pre-launch. Get ready for the campaign. This comic book is gonna blow your mind, take you to the next level. You following me on Instagram, you already seen some of the fire. I holla, damecomic.com. Let's go.
Hi guys, I want to talk to you about my friends at SouthernMuffin.com. Southern Muffin has one of the largest inventories of adult products online. Everything you and your special someone need to add a little spice to your romantic life. Massage oils, marital aids, candles, sexy lingerie, and over 100,000 videos for you to choose from. They ship international and free shipping in the U.S. for orders over $99. They will give you 20% off on your order right now. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to SouthernMuffin.com and make it do what it do, baby. And here we go. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 102 of the Akari Press podcast, brought to you by my good friends over at Anchor. You can go to the podcast page at anchor.fm/Akari Press. We are also, you'll also be able to catch this replay of the broadcast on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Akari Press. And then we've got the playlist on that page. And this episode will be up. Like I said, it's episode 102. And I am calling it She-Man and the Masters of the Universe. This past Friday, which was the 23rd, Netflix released the first 5 episodes of Masters of the Universe Revelation. That is executive produced by Mr. Clerks himself, Kevin Smith. And a few months ago, leaks had started coming out. You know, and they were putting it out there that the show was not really a He-Man show. And it was, you know, it was going to be more focused on Tila and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Kevin Smith has spent the last, you know, few months. He's been on his podcast. Matter of fact, he talked about the show. I know he did some kind of stream the other day with a bunch of the cast members. I know Sarah Michelle Gellar and Lena Headey. I think Mark Hamill participated too, but I know Sarah Michelle Gellar and Lena Headey, you know, several of the voice actors that were part of the show. They all, you know, sat down with Kevin Smith. You know, they're doing Comic-Con as well, the San Diego Comic-Con, but it's, you know, it's still virtual. I'm actually surprised by that. Oh, you know, I saw Jeff Smith. He was streaming actually earlier today, which is well, by the time you guys hear it, it'll be Monday, but it was Sunday afternoon. Jeff Smith was he was actually doing like a live book signing. He's got hardcovers of his graphic novel, collected edition of his graphic novel Tuki. And he had matter of fact, you can go if you listen to the podcast. I had Jeff Smith on about a year and a half ago, and it was 2019 when I talked to Jeff. It's 2021 now, so it's like 2019. I think it was August of 2019, so almost 2 years ago now. I think about it, but had Jeff Smith on. And it's kind of funny because during that interview, he had him and Doug Tenapel were friendly. You know, I've had Doug Tenapel on the podcast a few times, and Doug Tenapel had mentioned, because I think he drew, there was something when Jeff Smith was putting the Bone comics out individually. There was so maybe it was another project that Jeff Smith was involved in. Doug Tenapel drew a little sketch and it was printed in the book and everything. I think they'd kind of, and I think Jeff had drawn Earthworm Jim or something. He I know he wrote a foreword to one of the books that Doug Tenapel, you know, he does a lot of books for like young, I don't want to say children, but I know they're like, young teens. They're very family friendly. Say if you got like a 12, 13 year old, I think they would like a lot of those books. What was it? Cardboard and Glitch. And no, is it Glitch? No, it's a one. He did one called Gears, Ghostopolis. It was one I saw. It was had a pet dinosaur or something. Kind of, you know, Doug, he's done like 20 different graphic novels. He's got a bunch of stuff. Like I said, most of them, they're, you don't have to worry about profanity and all, you know what I'm saying? They're more geared towards, you know, that kind of young adult, early teen audience, which a lot of Jeff Smith's stuff is geared towards that. I remember when I was talking to him, he actually, what was that one book he did, Razzle? That one, it was still, you know, family friendly, but it seemed like it went in a more mature direction. I have a collected edition of that I'm trying to get through. But, you know, I had a really good time talking. But, you know, like I said, Jeff Smith was streaming today. He was, we had talked about crowdfunding when he had appeared on the podcast. And one of the things, you know, I had mentioned Doug Tenapel's success is he had kind of, when I had asked him about it earlier, he didn't seem like he was that interested in crowdfunding. And then I'd mentioned at that time, Doug Tenapel was doing his first crowdfunding campaign for the Earthworm Jim books. And he ended up raising like about $890,000. He did very well. That was just on one platform. Then he raised, I know he did that on Indiegogo, and then he raised like another 200 some odd thousand. So he, you know, did $1 million in sales. At that time, I think Doug was at least at $500,000 or so. And I mentioned it to Jeff, and he was like, ooh, maybe I will think about crowd. Because when I told him, I said, you ever thought about doing like crowdfunding campaign? I know you've got fans that would support. And, you know, he was like, I hadn't really thought of, you know, because he just sells his books. He's got a Scholastic deal. You know, they market his book towards like, you know, young adults, young people, you know. People that are in school, Scholastic, you know, they have kind of a built-in audience. He's got a great deal going, so I understand why he was kind of maybe a little trepidatious about that. But he had kind of mentioned, you know, when I mentioned how much money Doug had made, he was like, oh, maybe I will. You flash forward about a year and a half, and about 2 months ago, he launched the crowdfunding campaign for a collected edition of his book, Tukey. Which is the which again, that you can go on the playlist. If you listen to this podcast, go on the playlist and go down. I don't know, go back like about 40, 50 episodes. Either way, you'll see it. If hopefully your whatever you're listening on has a search function and you put in like Jeff Smith or whatever, it'll come up. It's definitely there. And you can listen to the conversation I had with Jeff Smith. I thought it was, you know, Jeff's a really friendly guy, and he sent me an autographed book, and it had, you know, he drew a sketch in there for me of Bone. Bone was one of my favorites, you know, back in the day. I used to, you know, used to be on my pull list at the comic shop and everything. So But he launched Kickstarter for Tukey and raised, looked like, about $250,000. He did very well, which I expected him to do okay, but, you know, to get that kind of money, you know, and by okay, you go, oh, okay, he might do 80, 90,000, maybe 100,000. You know what I'm saying? Because Tukey's not as well known as Bone. Like, if he had done Bone, $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. Bone has sold millions and millions of dollars worth of copies. So if he had done Bone as a collected edition, I could have saw that. But Tukey, you know, by his own admission, he was something that he put on as a web comic, and it hadn't really, hadn't really blown up. But he collected it, you know, collected edition. He had hardbound and softbound, and, you know, that thing took off on Kickstarter. It blew up, and now he's got it in store. But he was doing the. I'm bringing it back to the Kevin Smith. I know I got off on the tangent there, but that's, if you guys listen to me, you know that's how I do. So, but I mentioned Jeff Smith because he was doing the virtual Comic-Con thing. Matter of fact, when you see Comic-Con at home. And so Kevin Smith, with the launch of the new He-Man Masters of the Universe Revelation show, he was doing Comic-Con as well. And they were doing the virtual panels, and he was making the rounds. They're doing the promotion. They released the 5 episodes. I watched it. I was trying to keep an open mind because there had been all these leaks. Like I said, the leaks saying that the show was not really about He-Man. It was about Teela. Sarah Michelle Gellar was hired to be the voice of Teela. They also brought in Lena Headey from Game of Thrones. She is Evil Lynn. Mark Hamill, of course, the Joker from Batman. Luke Skywalker. He was Hobgoblin on Spider-Man anime. So, you know, he's done so many different voices. But I was actually excited when he got cast as Skeletor. But as I break down some of my critiques of the show, it actually kind of changed. But let me, I'm just going to kind of go off the dome here. But I thought Masters of the Universe Revelation was okay. But it's also not a He-Man show, which is what Kevin, when the leak started coming out that the show was about Teela and it was more focused on Teela and her story and all this kind of stuff, Kevin Smith was like, no, these people haven't even seen the show. They're just trying to ruin it. This is a He-Man show, blah, 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 all this bullshit. And then people were digging through his tweets from like 10 years. It was like 10 years ago he sent out a tweet where he admitted that, you know, he wasn't actually a He-Man fan. He never really liked He-Man as a young guy, you know, whereas myself, that was one of them shows, like, I'm looking for when I get off from school, when I come home from school, I want to watch He-Man, I want to watch Thundercats, I want to watch Silverhawks, Mask. These are the shows that I love those. Transformers, of course, G.I. Joe. There was like a block of animated shows that I would have been glued to the television. Like, we used to watch WZTV, Fox 17, you know. Although it wasn't, Fox didn't exist then. When Fox come on, it like, I think it was 1987, maybe 88 when Fox Network, but like in 83 or so when He-Man dropped, there was no such thing as Fox television, you know. They had the Fox studio, but there was no, the Fox network didn't exist. But the station that is our and still is our Fox affiliate, WZTV, that's why I used to watch my He-Man at. They had all the syndicated shows. Since they weren't a network, all the syndicated shows ended up on WZTV, you know, reruns. So Knight Rider goes into syndication, it's going to be on the A-Team, it's going to be on there, you know, so that's Kung Fu, the original Kung Fu with David Carradine, that, you know, the reruns would be showing, especially on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, they would show a lot of that stuff. They always had the Andy Griffith Show, Gomer Pyle, I Love Lucy. And then in the afternoons, they would show the cartoon. It'd be like about a four-hour block of cartoons, or a two-hour block. Not a four-hour, a two-hour block of cartoons. Like, say, you get, like, Transformers, G.I. Joe. You get Jim and the Holograms, Mask. Voltron. I was like, there was so many, but they used to show these shows. You know, some of them were just once a week. Some of them were pretty much every day after school. You know, like He-Man was meant to be shown. It was till I think that last season ended up. The last season of He-Man, they tried to make it like a once a week thing, but the original season, I think, is like 60 episodes, the first season, because they made the show up in bulk so that it could be shown 5 days a week. You know, 5 days a week when the kids get home from school, boom, and it worked, man. Because me and my brother both had He-Man toys, and we loved He-Man. And that's one of the things. Like when I made a video on my YouTube channel, and I was talking about Kevin Smith, because, you know, like I said, a lot of the fans have been, you know, talking to him and asking him, what's going on with the show? Is it really about T-Law, all this kind of thing? And he was answering the questions, but it seemed like he was a little upset, because he felt like certain people were trying to break the show down. And, you know, as he said, he's like, you guys haven't even seen it yet. And, you know, these people that are leaking this stuff, you know, they don't even know what they're talking about. These rumors are false. Now that I've seen the show, the rumors were not false. Everything that they were saying was true, at least for these first five episodes. And I'll touch on that in a little bit, but hold on. Cause I did kind of get ahead of myself. If you're listening to the podcast, we are on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and iHeartRadio. Want to also acknowledge our sponsors at southernmuffin.com. Southernmuffin.com. You can go there right now, you and your significant other, and pick out a lot of lovely adult toys, play things, things to spice up that romantic life for you and that significant other. I know that, like I said, they got 20% off, and I also know they have free shipping for orders of at least $99 in the continental U.S. So if you go up there, like I say, you can get 20% off. And if you order at least $99 worth of stuff, if you live in the U.S., they will ship it to you for free. Let me go to talk about my books that I'm working on. Dame Drop Super Official. You can almost done with that. That's one thing I will say. I have to take the good and the bad when I'm working with Kanan, because he's such a brilliant artist, but, he takes on like 20 jobs at the same time. So he'll have bursts where he'll give you two or three pages all at once, and then you won't get a page for like 2 weeks or something. You know, it's kind of, but he's only got 8 pages left. Might just be 7, because he told me he was almost done with the next page when I spoke to him earlier. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with. But Dame Drop Superficial at damecomic.com. And of course, Brand Way of the Gun. Whew, man, Brand Way of the Gun. At akaripress.com. If you can type in akaripress.com, it'll take you right there to Brand Way of the Gun, and you can pick that up. So, appreciate everybody's patience and everybody that has supported those projects. But yeah, let's get back to, first of all, know how I am. My throat getting a little dry. Gotta hydrate. Oh yeah. Yeah. I had to learn that, cause I was like, there was a couple times I was doing these broadcasts and my throat, I was just talking and my throat was getting dry. And I was like, so now when I set these up, I make sure I have something to drink next to me close by, so that if I have to take a little pause, because especially since I'm doing these solo, like when you have someone to talk to, you can let that other person talk. And then while they're talking, you take your drink and you keep going. And just, you know, it didn't bother. But that's something I had to learn. So, but yeah, I'm starting to, I think I've enjoyed doing these solo episodes by myself. But I might do some other things with, you know, I'm going to do a couple interviews that I got to set up, and you know, it won't just be me all the time. I'm going to have guests. I know I'm going to have Mike S. Miller on. Matter of fact, I spoke to him earlier today, sent him a text message, and we had a split. You know, he's got a book coming up, so we're going to talk about that. You know, he was on with us when we did the Dame Drop Super Official launch party, which that stream is, of course, on the podcast list as well. If you hadn't heard that, maybe you're new here and you haven't listened to me before. So if you have, like I said, there's a bunch of different things there. You'll find like my old shows from a couple years ago and all that kind of thing. All right. So let's get back to the He-Man stuff. So what did I think about it? Okay. The animation was, I thought they did a really good job with the animation. They hired a very diverse voice actor cast, which I liked. I thought all the people that they had in the show were, you know, like some of the best in the business. Steven Root, they had Steven Root, if you've watched, let me see, he was in Office Space. He was Bill Dautrey in King of the Hill. He was on Boardwalk Empire, I think the last two seasons. At least the last two seasons of Boardwalk Empire, he was on there. As a, you know, reoccurring character, I know he appeared in about five or six episodes of Boardwalk Empire. So, Steven Root, but a lot of times when I mention Office Space, that's probably, you know, that he did that role like 20 something years ago. And it seems like that still comes up all the time, because that movie has a lot of fans. So, but I like, you know, King of the Hill, you know, it's like, you know, Bill Dautrey, King of the Hill. So, you know, he did a lot of voiceover work before, but he's the voice of Cringer. Battlecat was there, but I don't recall the Battlecat voice, but I know I heard his Cringer voice. But, you know, like on the old He-Man cartoon, he was Adam, I don't think we should. Hey, He-Man, you know, he would turn into Battlecat and he'd have the deeper voice. So I'm curious how they're gonna, maybe they're going to address that in the, because they ordered 10 episodes. The other five episodes, I'm not sure when those are going to start airing. Probably in a couple, they might let it breathe a couple months and then drop the other five episodes, because that was one of the things I do want to see the other five episodes, like I said, but there were problems with He-Man, and I'm just going to be honest about it. And we're in this place in modern culture where when people see things and they don't like and they criticize it, they're told that they're either bigots or they're just being haters and all this kind of thing. He-Man is something that, you know, it's a franchise that has a lot of fans. You know, the franchise is, you know, about 40 years old. So you've got something that's been around for 40 years. And most of the fans are men. I remember when I made my video, and the video I made got almost 7,000 views on it, which that shocked me that so many people on my YouTube, you know, my YouTube channel is small. I only have 3,000 subs, you know, but hey, you know, if you're one of them, and I appreciate you being a subscriber, but yeah, I'm not one of these channels that's got like, I used to, C channels and they'd have 10, 20, 30, 40,000 subs. And I go, wow, that's a big channel. Then I, you know, made friends with people that had 100,000 subs and 200,000 subs and, you know, 400,000, you know, now I'm working with Dame Drops. He has, you know, he has like 1.4 million subs and, you know, I'm going to be working with Badlands Chugs and he's got like over 2 million, almost 3 million on his YouTube channel. So I'm just saying there are bigger entities out there. And it just kind of makes me think, because I was like, oh man, if you got 10,000 subs, you're really doing something. And you know, the people that get those 100,000, 200, 300,000, you know, they would, if they only was, you know, had 10,000 subs, they'd be like, oh God, this is, you know, I'm sure that check hits different. But if I had 10,000, I would just be happy with it. You know, I'd be like, oh, 10, you know. But at the same point in time, it's, I always use that analogy of like a mountain, you know, like when you climb a mountain, what do? And the answer would, of course, you know, find a bigger mountain and climb that one. You know, you never, even when you achieve your goal, you set a new goal and then you just try to go on from there. So, but yeah, like I said, Stephen Root, mentioned Sarah Michelle Gellar as Tila and Lena Headey as Evil Lynn. I don't know who the voice actor was that played Orko. The guy from Supergirl was He-Man and Prince Adam. I'm not even gonna try to look his name up because I stopped watching Supergirl like 3 years ago because it just got weird. Supergirl got too weird for me, and it just wasn't. I don't know. It's so. You know, they do the weird shit with, you know, Jimmy Olsen. Hey, let's make Jimmy Olsen a black guy. And yeah, all that weird shit. You know, it's like, I'm just not into that. I want, when I watch these shows, and I understand that you have to kind of do some of the diversity shit and all that. But, you know, hell, I've been reading Superman comics since I was a kid, you know. And Jimmy, I want someone that kind of looks like the character, you know, I've talked about this with the Daredevil movie that Ben Affleck starred in, and they, you know, they hired Michael Clark Duncan to play Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, and Wilson Fisk is white. He's been white for 50 years in the comics, and I looked at it and everybody's like, no, Michael Clark Duncan is Kingpin was perfect. But he's actually not. I don't know. He's a big guy. He literally got the job because it's kind of what you get with Kevin Feige now with these Marvel, the MCU movies where he's going, oh, we're going to use non-traditional casting. You know, so it's like, it's what I had mentioned on the last podcast about the, they're doing the Heroes for Hire show on Disney Plus, and, you know, Iron Fist isn't going to be, you know, Danny Rand. They're going to make him an Asian guy now. So, you know, Snake Eyes is an Asian guy in the G.I. Joe movie. You know, Snake Eyes has always been a white guy. That's the whole point. That's kind of the point where he's supposed to be a fish out of water. He's supposed to be a Westerner that gets entrenched in Asian culture, and you know he struggles to get acceptance from them because he is not one of them, you know. And then through his work and his courage, he manages to become, you know, a trusted member and someone that they respect, and they do accept him. That's a universal story. So when you take him and go, Asian people are upset that Iron Fist is, you know, a white guy with blonde hair. So we need to change that and we need to make him Asian. That sounds stupid to me. Same with Snake Eyes. They decided that they wanted to have a little bit more diversity in Masters of the Universe Revelation. So when the show kicks off, we get He-Man, he turns, you know, well, we get Prince Adam, he turns into He-Man, the whole thing. They go to, you know, they go to Castle Grayskull, you know, Skeletor is trying to, you know, break his way into Castle Grayskull, doing the thing with the Sorceress. Sorceress, of course, calls He-Man, who is the champion of Grayskull. Bam. Comes through. Skeletor forces his hand, and they get into a situation where Prince Adam, or He-Man, because he is He-Man at that point, where they get into a situation where He-Man has to sacrifice himself to save everybody. So they kill He-Man right off the rip. So they, I mean, they, that first episode, they kill, so you got Man-at-Arms and all that stuff, they kill He-Man. So then, before they die, before he dies, Teela finds out that Adam is actually He-Man, and instead of going, wow, okay, she is offended that Adam, who she says is her best friend, she was like, my best friend's been lying to me all this time, and she's upset that, because this is supposed to be, that's one thing that they said, Kevin Smith, that the Masters of the Universe Revelation was supposed to, it wasn't a reboot. It's supposed to be a direct continuation of the Funimation series. So it's supposed to pick up right where Masters of the Universe, the 80s show, left off. So when they did the 2002 reboot, that was a reboot. It started from scratch and everything, you know. I thought that they did a pretty good job with He-Man on that show. That you could tell those people were He-Man fans. The only real criticism I have of that show was the transforming sword. The sword was like a transformer. You know, Prince Adam had the little sword, and then it was like, he go, by the power of grace, and then it turned. It was like a techno, you know, it was like techno mage or something. You know, it's like the swords are you know, it was that kind of shit. The sword transformed and shit. I didn't like that. I always liked the fact that Adam had the sword, he carried it with him, and then he became He-Man, and he still had the same sword. Although some people would be like, Adam, He-Man has the exact same sword as Adam. Why didn't anybody figure out that, you know? So let's kind of get into that. Someone else I forgot to mention, Alicia Silverstone is the, you know, she provided the voice for, trying to think. She was, now I have to look up the voice cast because I know she, I'm assuming she was the queen. If I'm not mistaken. So let me see. Let me pull it up. Cause okay. So let me actually see. Chris Wood is He-Man. And then Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn. He actually named his daughter Harley Quinn. Yeah, she's happy. Why go into that? Lena Headey is Evil-Lyn. But, oh, yeah, Harley Quinn Smith is Alina, or whatever her name is. Mark Hamill, of course, is Skeletor. Sarah Michelle Gellar is Teela. Tiffany Smith is Andra. That's the sidekick chick. Okay, Griffin Newman is Orko. Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones. So we got another Game of Thrones person there. He's the Onion Knight on Game of Thrones, so he's Man at Arms. Alan Oppenheimer was Matt Mossman, And that was just a quick, yeah, quick. Queen Marlena is played by Alicia Silverstone. And Susan Eisenberg, who was the voice of Wonder Woman on the Justice League cartoon, she was the sorceress, who, if you watch the original cartoon, you also know she's Teela's mother. Now, I remember I was talking to somebody. There was a thing in the little mini comics, and I think they did it in the actual, because they had it like Star Comics with through Marvel and stuff. But there was a storyline where Teela wasn't actually a child; she was a clone. Where they Skeletor had cloned the sorceress so he could try to take the power, and then they were able to secure the clone and then raise her as Man-at-Arms child or whatever. That was not part of the cartoon storyline, though. That was some dumb shit that they put in those little mini comics, and that was some dumb shit. That's not, and somebody was like, yeah, she's going to be a clone. I was like, why the fuck would she be a clone? The whole point was that, because, matter of fact, on the cartoon, you know, the sorceress turns into a falcon or whatever. And she turns into a falcon, and then she can turn back into her normal self. But she's bound to the castle. She can't leave Castle Grayskull for like long, long periods of time, because the longer she stays away, you know, she gets weaker as she uses her powers outside of the castle. So that's why she tries to stay near. But every now, you know, she'll turn into that falcon, and she'll fly off somewhere, and then she'll be like, oh, He-Man, you know, all that kind of shit. Kevin Conroy, who of course is the voice of Batman in the animated series and on the Justice League stuff, he is Merman. And then Phil Lamar was Hero. Now, I actually want to, matter of fact, since I'm talking about Phil Lamar, because they had Dennis Haysbert as King Grayskull, who is a ancestor of Prince Adams. So, you know, he had like dreads and the whole thing. So all of a sudden, He-Man's like part black man or whatever. So it was kind of weird. Now, I was pointing out, they was like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And I was like, this is the, you know, and there were actually some Masters of the Universe fans. And matter of fact, there was one of the executives at Netflix was in the Masters of the Universe page. He was having conversations with Masters of the Universe fans on Facebook, and this went around because I saw a couple of different news blogs pick this up where they were having a conversation, and this guy was black, and he was like, I always feel like when they race swap these characters, it's kind of like a slap in the face, and you know, it's like a hand-me-down character. It's like, because King Grayskull's always been a white guy. I mean, you can say he's descendant of He-Man or whatever. He's one of He-Man's ancestors, his forebears. And Prince Adam is clearly white. King Randor is clearly white. It is what it is, right? So at that point, I can't remember the guy King Randor, I can't remember his, the guy from the Drew Carey show. Let me see here. Let me pull this thing up, because he was on he does a lot of cartoon work, and he was very unlikable in this, if I gotta be honest about it. Diedrich Bader, that's it. He was Trapjaw. He was Trapjaw and King Randor. He did a couple of different voices on this. So he's Trapjaw, you know, he's Trapjaw and King Randor. And King Randor was very unlikable in this. Queen Marlena, they revealed in the first episode that Queen Marlena actually knew that Adam was He-Man. And that's something that's obviously something neither one of Adam's parents knew that Prince Adam was He-Man. Matter of fact, if you watch the cartoon, the original cartoon, which is supposed to be a continuation of, Adam actually says only three people know my secret. And those three people were Man-at-Arms, Orko, and the Sorceress. Those are the only three people that knew who Prince Adam's secret identity. No one else knew that. This is from the cartoon. So they were like, oh, you thought it was just three, but Prince Adam's mom knew that he was He-Man the whole time. Yeah. Okay. But Duncan, Man-at-Arms, you know, he was one of the only, like I said, there was only three people that knew. First episode comes, He-Man sacrifices himself to save Eternia. The sword of power is broken. It had absorbed so much magical energy that it was just too much, and it split into two halves. And one half of the sword goes into hell, and the other half of the sword goes to heaven. But they call it, what, Preternia, and so whatever the fuck. I'm not going to get the exact thing, but just watch the damn Netflix show. But the soul, the dark place, which was clearly meant to be hell, was where one half of the sword went. So first of all, they go, well, hold on, let me break this down. So after He-Man dies, and Tila, like, he, you know, Adam transforms in front of Tila for the first time, and she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. She had like a Karen moment. Cause, and this is, I'm gonna turn it back around, because she literally had a Karen moment, because she made it about her. Even after Adam died, she turned on all of her friends and family and made it about her, because they named her. That was the whole point. The episode came in and they were at this celebration because Tila was being named a Man-at-Arms. And I think she was being named captain of the Royal Guard. The Man-at-Arms are the Royal Guard, which is what, you know, which is what her father was. So she was being named, officially named as Man-at-Arms, even though she's obviously not a man. And this is the Tila that we saw from the original cartoon. She has the long hair and the whole thing. She actually looks more feminine then. She's still attractive in the whole deal, and she's got her long flowing hair and whatnot. They're celebrating, and then the Sorceress, you know, Skeletor makes his move and tries to take over Castle Grayskull, and then of course the Sorceress summons Prince Adam, and he turns into He-Man, and they ride out to save Castle Grayskull. Skeletor gets through and, you know, sets his plan in motion. And then the source, you know, He-Man, well, it kills Prince Adam and it kills Skeletor. So Skeletor died, even though, you know, his plan, you know, that was kind of the thing where he died, but Prince Adam, you know, He-Man was still alive, but he had to sacrifice himself to, stop the world from blowing up or whatever. And so, like I said, he used the sword of power. He absorbed all the power, but it was just too much. It's too much magical energy. So it destroyed him. And Adam went to heaven and Skeletor went to hell. And one half of the sword went to hell and the other half of the sword went to heaven with Adam. And so the Sorceress, there was clearly some passage of time, because when they went back to the castle, and they had to tell the king that He-Man had fallen. And, you know, King Randor, you know, He-Man saved the king multiple times on the original show and everything. So, of course, you know, he's the champion of Eternia, you know, like, oh, my God, you know. So King Randor, like Diedrich Bader's character, he's obviously upset that He-Man has passed, but he doesn't know that He-Man is his son. So his wife, Queen Marlena, she breaks, oh my God, our son. She's like, Randor, our son is dead. And he's like, what? You know, once he, you know, now he knows that his son was He-Man. And so at that point, he's upset at Man-at-Arms. He's upset at Duncan. He's upset at Man-at-Arms for keeping that secret from him. And he's like, he tells Man-at-Arms that he is no longer part of the Royal Guard. And in fact, he's not, you know, because Man-at-Arms was an inventor and stuff. He creates things. He actually tells Man-at-Arms that if he catches him inventing anything, like tinkering with any machinery or whatever, that he would be executed. He actually says this, like, and I was sitting there going, King Randor's a dick. And I understand that he's upset that his son has passed. But this is where I thought they kind of, and I don't know if they had licensing issues or whatever. Because if you know the original show, you know that She-Ra, Adam's sister, his twin sister, they were born, you know, same time, whatnot, and Hordak, which, now that's something I actually want to mention, that they actually did mention Hordak, or they mentioned the Horde in the show. So if you mention the Horde, that means Hordak is there somewhere. But we didn't, you know, like I said, it was only the first five episodes, and I'd be shocked if we actually get a Hordak or the Horde or any of that shit this season. But we didn't get, you know, they mentioned Hordak. I mean, they mentioned the Horde. They didn't say Hordak. They just mentioned Horde. But the Horde is the group that Hordak is the leader of. It kind of made me go, are we going to get She-Ra? Because her twin brother is dead. Yeah, it kind of makes sense that she'd want to come back through the portal and spend time with her family and grieve with them, but we didn't get to see that. Maybe they did that off screen. There was no mention of She-Ra at all. You know, it's like, there's no, you know, like I said, maybe that was just a little Easter egg when they mentioned the Horde, because here's the reality of the situation. He-Man's parents have been through a lot of shit. Their baby daughter was kidnapped from them, and, you know, they didn't actually get to meet her until she was like 17 or 18 years old. Because I'm like, on the He-Man show, I've seen some people say that Adam was supposed to be like 16 or whatever. He's supposed to be, because, matter of fact, when they did the reboot, when they did the 2002 reboot, they kind of made it where Adam seemed a little younger. He wasn't like 18, 19 years old or whatever. But Prince Adam on the original show, even though if he's supposed to be a teenager or whatever, he's clearly do look like he's about 24, 25 years old. But I noticed on this version of the show, in Masters of the Universe Revelation, Adam looked like he had like HIV or something. You know, it was, and I say that he looked real sickly or something. And maybe that's the point. I guess that they wanted to differentiate, because he looked the exact same in the original cartoon. He was muscular when he wasn't Prince Adam, and then he was still muscular as He-Man. It's just the only thing, he got a tan or whatever. So that was something that the reboot felt like they needed to address as well. Prince Adam was just a regular dude, and then he really bulked up as He-Man. So I don't have a problem with that. Some people might. Yeah, Adam looked really, he was really skinny. He was like super, he wasn't even, the Prince Adam was really kind of amazing. When I saw him, I was like, he just looked, hey, Tila, you know, real kind of simple, geeky and stuff, you know. So, and then, of course, when he goes by the power of Grayskull, and all of a sudden look like he got a big steroid injection or something. He looked like Barry Bonds, you know, when he was, you know, hitting all them home runs. So he was huge. And, you know, that was one thing. But, yeah, that whole thing with King Randor, he was kind of a, you know, he actually told Man-at-Arms that he'd execute him if, you know, if he caught him, you know, found out he was making things or whatever. It's like that whole thing was weird. And then he told Tila to take her father, you know, from the royal chambers or whatever the fuck. And she was like, no, I'm not doing, you know, she blew up. She's like, all you guys have been lying to me the whole thing, you know. And that's why I was like, she made Adam, remember, Adam's dead. And she's making the fact that she didn't know that he was He-Man all about her. And I thought that was very strange. I was like, okay, so this guy that you say is your best friend is dead. Now I understand you're upset and maybe you're acting out of grief. But she goes, no, I'm not. You know, she decides to leave the royal court. She leaves. But remember, Man-at-Arms is her father. He's not her biological father. She was adopted. You know, he adopted her and watched over her for the sorceress. She starts calling her father by his first name. You know, he was always her father. You know, hey, she's like, dad, you know, hey, dad, whatever, you know, just like a normal child, you know, you don't address your parent by their first name. She stopped calling him dad, start calling him Duncan. I thought that was really weird. That shit, I was like, why the fuck is she calling him Duncan all of a sudden? I was like, that's weird. I understand that you're like, how did you lie to me? I guess we're not family after all, even though you've been raising your ass for the last 20 years. I was like, you know, whatever. I was like, yeah, you changed my diapers and you helped feed and clothe me and you taught me how to fight and all this kind of shit. Oh, you didn't tell me that Adam was actually He-Man. You're not my father anymore, Duncan. I thought that was weird. That was really fucking weird, that part of the storyline. They clearly, so like I said, so that allows her to leave the royal court and go on her journey. And she had the long hair. She, you know, she changed her uniform, has long hair, cuts her hair off. So now she's got like the frohawk, you know, the butch lesbian look. I was like, yeah, she shaves all her hair off and, you know, she's got, you know, she's got her hair shaved on one side. She cuts the long hair, you know, I'm being rebellious. All of a sudden, she's got fucking huge tree trunks for arms. Like when they come back and some time had passed, she's fucking bulked the fuck. That weird chick in The Last of Us 2. That's who it reminded me of. She was, what was it, Jim Carrey played a, what was it, Venus de Milo, that bodybuilder. Yeah, Tila, you know, they had her looking more feminine and everything. And then all of a sudden she just had tree trunks for all. She was just cut and then shaved her hair and all this kind of stuff. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is weird. Yeah, but that was weird. And then she's got the, Adaya, whatever, the black sidekick chick, which that was one of the leaks that this black woman was going to be Tila's actual girlfriend, that they were going to be lovers. We haven't gotten there yet. That did seem to be, it seemed like they were kind of sowing the seeds that there might be, you know, like I go where you go, all that, you know, it was that kind of shit. Like they're clearly very close, but there wasn't, you know, they didn't make out with each other in these five episodes or whatever. But they are very close. You can tell that they have a bond. Like I said, Tila left home. She just cut everybody off and just went her own way. And she's like, I'm not dealing with this stuff anymore. I'm not, you know, I'm not one of Eternia's heroes anymore. The whole thing. And then she was in this town. You know, she was just traveling the land, having adventures. Apparently, she was doing mercenary work, it looked like, because she like helped you, and then you had to pay her and stuff, because she helped somebody and she was like, where's my gold or whatever, and the dude had to pay her. What she was doing, like bounty hunter work or whatever the hell it was. Either way, she was getting paid. She wasn't just helping people out of the goodness of her heart. She was getting into the adventures and helping people for money. She meets an old woman that needs her to help recover something else. And this old woman ended up being Evil Lynn, who was apparently working with the sorceress. So that was, like I said, Skeletor's dead. And so a lot of Skeletor's crew has all gone their separate ways. Merman is one place. Beastman is still cool with Evil Lynn. Stinkor was doing some stuff. Stinkor was voiced by Jason Mewes, Snoochie Boochie. You know, Jason Mewes from the Clerks, which they're doing a third Clerks movie. I saw that. Matter of fact, I follow Kevin Smith on Instagram, and he was walking around like New Jersey, just trying to, you know, I guess they're gonna still film it there and whatnot. You know, just kind of. I am curious how this third Clerks is going to go. Some people really liked Passion of Clerks and some people didn't. I thought it was definitely good, but the first Clerks to me was just such a classic. So I'm curious how this third Clerks is going to go. I haven't seen the last Jay and Silent, because I saw Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but I haven't seen this last Jay and Silent Bob movie. So I need to actually peep that out, but I'll check out this third Clerks as well. But you had to, there was some, what was it? My man from Henry Rollins was the voice of Triclops. They, like I said, they had an all-star voice cast on this thing. I mean, like I said, the animation was tight, but I've seen some different things. Whatever I think about it, there were some articles and they were kind of, you know, the press was kind of going at the fan base and they were saying, oh, these He-Man fans are starting to, they're review bombing Masters of the Universe Revelations and giving it bad scores on Rotten Tomatoes. And that happened with the Captain Marvel movie, and they turned off the reviews and everything. So I hadn't heard that they turned off the ability to leave a review on Masters of the Universe Revelations yet. I haven't done it, but I remember they did that with Captain Marvel, because so many of the fans, I remember one of the Star Wars, I think the Rise of Skywalker was the same thing, which by the way, okay, seen Rise of Skywalker, I watched it a couple times, because I was like, the first time I think I went into it just expecting too much, and I was upset. I said, okay, I took a couple of days. Woo-sah. Okay, let me go back. Okay, now I know what's going on. Sit down in a more calm state of mind. Watch it again. I still didn't love it. This is clearly not George Lucas Star Wars. This is Disney Star Wars. I love George Lucas Star Wars. That's what I want. So George Lucas Star Wars is something that is very near and dear to my heart. And this Disney Star Wars, I don't enjoy as much. And they say all these toxic males. Disney Star Wars is like, oh, we need more women. We need more POC, you know, people of color. So, you know, it's like that shit. Instead of just focusing on trying to make a good story, they do all this weirdo diversity shit. And it's just, and they try to shoehorn this in. And so, I don't, yeah, it just doesn't, the problem with the three Disney Star Wars films, the whole thing with Rey, and it just, I remember I watched The Force Awakens and I was like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it was very, very similar to A New Hope. So it didn't stand out. I was like, it literally looked like they just kind of made A New Hope over again. Then you had Rise of Skywalker, not Rise of Skywalker. I can't even remember. Return of the whatever the hell, The Force of, I can't remember. Oh my God. Hold up. Now I got to look them up. I know y'all hate when I do this. I got to look this movie up. Let's see. Star Wars, A New Hope. Let's see. The Rise of Skywalker. Hold up. So I got to see. Okay. That was the last one. So let me look. Let's see. Okay. Okay. Sequel trilogy. Okay. The Last Jedi. Okay. The Last Jedi. That was the one that was directed by Rian Johnson. So Rian Johnson, who actually won an Academy Award for that, what was that? That detective movie. I can't even remember the name of it. The Rise of Skywalker. Either way. Yeah, I'm trying to find. Let me see. I have to find. Boom. Rise of Skywalker. Boom. Boom. Rian Johnson. And let's see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Knives Out. He got an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Screenplay, and he sold the sequel because the first Knives Out, the rights to that one are on, it's on Amazon. But if you watch the second, well, they're making the second one now. And the second one is going to be on Netflix. They outbid Amazon. I guess Amazon, they want to go. They spent like $250 million to get the rights to the sequel. But yeah, Rian Johnson did the second one, the Last Jedi. And that one really kind of pissed me off. And then so much support. Anytime a Star Wars movie came out, I go to the movie theaters to watch it. And then when they did The Rise of Skywalker, I actually said, nah, I'm good. And I stayed home. I did not want, you know, I waited till it got on video. And that's when you know I'm bugging. Because if it's Star Wars, I go to the fucking movie. And because of the way I went to The Force Awakens and I went to The Last Jedi, and after that, I said, yeah, I'm going to sit this one out. I'll watch it, but it'll have to be on video. And so that's what I did. But yeah, Disney Star Wars, the whole culture in they're making all these new, like they're making the new Transformers movies. They're with the Rise of the Beasts or whatever the fuck it's called. And they say, oh, we need diversity this time. And the guy that they got is I can't remember, Latin actor. He's in The Heights, and he was in Hamilton when it was on Broadway and whatnot. He's great with Anthony Ramos, I think his name is. He's great. And what's the black actress? You know, they're making sure, you know, that they have a Latin man and a black woman in lead roles in that. I'm not going for diversity. I just want to see robots beat the hell out of each other and blow shit up. Putting token Negroes in these positions and stuff, that shit don't do anything for me. It doesn't change real racism that happens in our world, every day. It doesn't, you know, that kind of shit doesn't solve problems like that. I'm sitting on, oh, there's a black woman going to be in a Transformers movie. Racism's over. That doesn't do anything for me like that. That's not how the world really works. So it's the same with He-Man. So Tila running around the planet with a black woman on her arm doesn't change racism. or making King Grayskull a black man doesn't change racism. You know, that shit's phony to me. But hey, like I said, the production was decent on it, but I really feel like they shit all over He-Man with this bullshit. I gotta be honest, because like I got through the, you know, she's calling her, like I said, she's calling her dad Duncan. This is the Tila show. You know, so it was like, it wasn't He-Man, it was fucking Tila, the Tila show. That's what they should call it. You know, they went down to hell. They got the first half of the sword. And Skeletor tried to stop them or whatever. Then they managed to get out of hell with the sword. Then they had to go up to heaven, and that's where we met King Grayskull, found out he was a black dude, and they met other champions up there, like Hero, who was actually voiced by Phil Lamarr, because that's the thing. And I pointed this out to someone a couple weeks ago when they were arguing with me about, you know, hey, is a black actor. I was like, well, I said, Phil Lamarr voices white characters all the time. He voiced Aquaman. They left Aquaman with blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, Phil Lamarr is a voice actor. He voices white characters all the time, and they keep the characters white. And they bring Dennis Haybert in, and King Grayskull has always been a white guy. But they say, oh, let's make him black with dreads. And the guy from Netflix on the Masters of the Universe Facebook was even saying that, you know, if they had left him white, you know, or if they had created a new character that the fans wouldn't accept and such. That whole thing was bullshit. They're doing this stuff for that She-Ra show that they had on Netflix, where they shit all over She-Ra and the gay woman that made that show. And she had to make sure that all of a sudden she was a fucking lesbian kissing fucking Catra and shit. They did that. They had that Voltron show, the Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix. You know, that show turned out, it started off pretty good for me. And then, you know, coming in, I was excited for the next season. And then they was like, oh, the black lion pilot, he's going to be gay. And we're going to meet his boyfriend. I go, what the fuck? Why are you guys doing this shit? They got that Sherlock Holmes, the Sherlock Holmes with the Enola Holmes, with the chick from, what's that? I can't remember her name. But Enola Holmes, who is Sherlock Holmes' sister or whatever. Henry Cavill plays Sherlock Holmes in that. And they're saying in Enola Holmes 2 that they're going to actually have Sherlock Holmes be bisexual. He's going to actually, you know, he's going to be interested in men and women. And I go, what the fuck, man? This is weird. Why are they doing this? They feel like it's, we need to really push the envelope. Let's make Sherlock Holmes bisexual. Hey, guys, shit. Some people have read into the original material and some of the descriptions that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, you know, had about Sherlock Holmes, that, you know, that he was kind of hinting that Sherlock Holmes was bisexual in the material, but he never actually came out and said it. In other passages, it kind of came across as if Sherlock Holmes was kind of asexual. He wasn't sexual at all. You know, he just didn't seem very disinterested in men or women. You know, so there is that, you know, it is what it is as far as that kind of stuff. But that's why I'm kind of curious if they're actually going to go all out with this, like they were, you know, like the rumors are saying. Is Tila actually going to be involved with this woman that's been her companion on these adventures over the last few years? You know, like I said, they clearly have, you know, they're clearly in each other's lives, but they didn't do any hand holding. They didn't make out with each other and everything. It just seemed like they were adventurers, at least for now. I don't know. They did the thing with Orko. So it seemed like they were killing, because like I said, they killed He-Man right off the rip, and then Orko joined up you know, like I said, they flash forward a few years or whatever, and Teela has, you know, gone off. She's left the Royal Guard and she's went off on her own. Come back and, you know, like I said, reunites with, gets on this quest to try to set the balance right and kind of undo some of the things that happened when He-Man died. Orko's there. Reunites with Orko and Cringer, or reunites with the sorceress who's, I guess because of what Skeletor did, she's clearly lost some of her magical power. She's an older woman now, you know. Sorceress was, you know, she doesn't age like normal people. So all of a sudden you see the sorceress and she's like this old ass woman. And, didn't really pick up with her talking to Teela. You know, it's like, just like I said, she is Teela's mother. But when Teela found out that she was the sorceress' daughter on the original show, her memory was erased, I think, with a spell or whatever, you know, so that Teela would not remember that the sorceress was her mother. And, to protect her, she, you know, when the time was right, it sounded like, from based on everything that was said, it sounded, I'm going off the original show, seemed like one day Teela would have to take her mother's place at Castle Grayskull. So one day the sorceress would die, and or she'd be about to die and have to pass, just like, because they did the origin of the sorceress, and the sorceress had to take this other woman's place in Castle Grayskull. So there was another woman there, and she went through the process, and then she took that woman's place. So she had a daughter. So eventually her daughter is going to have to take her place in Castle Grayskull. She's not going to, you know, find a husband and get married and have kids and all that shit. So that's, maybe one day, maybe she'll turn into a bird and have, you know. So it's always been strange to me, because that's, you know, Teela's always, you know, kind of been an adventurous type. You know, she learns to fight and she teaches Adam all her little fighting techniques and whatnot. Although they always kind of made it seem like Adam had romantic feelings for Teela. So if they make Teela a lesbian, that'd be just, I'm just curious about all that kind of shit, you know, because I'm sitting there going, these people, it reminded me of, there was an episode of South Park that came out after Raiders of the Lost Ark, or Indiana Jones 4 had come out. And it was also around that time they were doing those special editions of the Star Wars movies, of the original Star Wars movies, you know, updating the special effects, because George Lucas wasn't happy with how some of the effects came across. And it was also, there was a special edition of E.T. that had been released, where they went in and there was a scene where the FBI agents were chasing Elliot and they had guns in their hands and stuff. And, you know, going flashing forward like 30 years later, Steven Spielberg said that scene kind of bothered him as he got older, because he was like, he didn't like the fact that he had the FBI agents chasing Elliot with hand pistols. You know, they had handguns. He's like, they're chasing a kid that's like 10 years old with fucking guns in their hand. And I'm looking at it like, they think this kid, you know, there's an alien. They're trying to, you know, I'm like, they probably, you know, there's a damn alien. You don't know if it's a monster or what it can do, or, you know, it's like, hell, draw that weapon, pull that thing out on it. You might have to load them up with some hot shit. That's just the truth. But they did the special edition, and they went in with CGI and erased the handguns and put walkie-talkies in the FBI agents' hands. And a lot of people were goofing on them. Was like, that's the dumbest shit. Why would y'all do that? Just leave the scene be. you know, like I said, I thought that was strange. And South Park really kind of roasted George Lucas and Steven Spielberg for some of the choices they made with all this CGI stuff and stuff. And they had a thing where the stormtroopers, like everybody was raping. I think it was like Steven Spielberg was raping Indiana Jones, and George Lucas was raping the stormtroopers and all this. Like, everybody was getting raped. It was horrible. And, you know, a lot of people were, this is something I, you know, as I've discussed this stuff with different friends of mine that like these movies, one thing I said is I do think that younger George Lucas and older George Lucas are two different people. You're young and you take chances, you take risks, you know, and then you get older and wiser. And then, so you kind of, a lot of the things that you would do when you were younger, you're a little bit more cautious because you've been through the wars, and you're more conservative. And, so I do think the filmmaker that George Lucas is now is much different from the filmmaker he was 40 some years ago. Same with Steven Spielberg. You look at how he made films, you know, 40 some years ago, and how he's making films now. He's definitely more experienced and everything, but some of the movies that he made when he was younger, I don't think he would take those chances that he took when he was young. And that's what happens when you get older, you get wiser, and you know, you kind of lay back in the cut and do things differently. So if you gave older George Lucas that original Star Wars script, things might look differently. You know, I'm matter of fact, I'm positive they would. I think George would film things differently, and maybe certain things would get, you know, maybe certain lines would get cut. The movie would be cut differently. When you go back and you hear how some of the people that worked on the prequels talk about how George wanted certain things and how he edited and do the, you kind of watch things and you're like, oh, okay. Well, or, you know, working on those special editions that updated and improved special effects and certain things, they were like, some people were like, hey, he shouldn't mess with these films. These are masterpieces. They should leave them alone. And others are like, no, this is the way these films are, and it should always stay that way. And these films should be preserved. You know, they shouldn't do that. But I don't know. I didn't have so much of a problem with the Star Wars films. I didn't hate them. I just, I don't know, I thought, some of those, especially when you saw the prequel films, and then you go back and you look at the original Star Wars, the special effects kind of made the older films look a little dated. So going in and cleaning some of those old effects up and making things look a little crisper and tighter, I didn't have a problem with that. When he, you know, the thing he did where he changed the scene with Han Solo and what was it, Guido, where Han shot Guido first. And I didn't like that choice, but that was his film. But he was talking about that he didn't like the fact that Han Solo had become a murderer all of a sudden. You know, he kind of, especially when you look at where he took Han's arc, and he was like, I kind of made a murderer, you know. He's like, I don't like the sense that a murderer can be redeemed, but if Guido shot first and then Han shot, then it's okay. And I was just like, that was the whole point. Han was a bad guy. Maybe Han was a little sneaky and a bad guy at first, but he met Leia and Luke, and you know, he started working with the rebellion and he changed instead. But by you doing that and going, okay, well, let's just make it where Guido shot and he missed and then Han shot him. That whole thing was that, like I said, that whole cut was weird, man. I thought that was strange. But the other special effects that he added to it, I didn't have a problem with those. I thought they kind of made the film look a little better and, you know, cleaning up some of those old special effects that were like 25, 30 years old. I thought I didn't have a problem with that. But the, you know, like I said, the Han shot first thing, I didn't necessarily like that, but he explained it. And I was like, at the end of the day, this is his movie. This was his, this came out of his head. And, you know, he kind of wanted to improve on some of his ideas and stuff. So I don't know, but sometimes if you just spend too much time looking at things, it'll get in the way and just make you overthink things and do things. And maybe that's what happened with this Netflix joint. This is what happened with Masters of the Universe Revelation. I said it was okay, but I didn't really feel like it was a He-Man show. It's definitely a Teela show. And someone pointed out, I was like, well, He-Man's in every episode, and I was like, yeah, but he's dead. You know, he's dead. Okay, so this is one of my big things. Like, he's dead, and then you see him in flashbacks. You know, Teela's remembering spending time with He-Man or spending time with Adam or whatever. And then so you see him, but he's in a flashback because he's dead, right? And so then they had to go up to heaven and recover Adam. They bring Adam back to the real world. They bring him back from heaven. And they bring him and they bring the other half of the Sword of Power. So now she's got both halves. They put the sword back together. He-Man's raises, or Prince Adam raises the sword. He's about to come He-Man again. And this is when you find out that Skeletor has been hiding in Evil Lyn's staff. And you know, the Evil Lyn's been carrying around his staff, and Skeletor just jumped out like, surprise, bitch, and stabs He-Man, or stabs Prince Adam. He's like, by the power, oh, you know, just stabs and kills Prince Adam again. So I was like, wait a minute. So you killed He-Man once. They go to hell, and then they go up to heaven. They bring Adam back. And Skeletor kills him again, and then he becomes, what they call him, Skele-God or whatever the hell. He becomes Super Skeletor, so he ends up taking the Sword of Power and raising it up and absorbing all the power of Grayskull and becoming this Skeletor God character. And the next five episodes will deal with how we get Eternia back. But now, like I said, Adam's been killed again. Prince Adam is dead again. So he got killed twice in five episodes. I do feel like they just shat all over him. And I don't know. It's, like I said, I'm hoping. Now, one thing I will say, Kevin Smith, you know, a lot of fans have been, you know, like I said, I mentioned the Rotten Tomato shit. Kevin Smith on his podcast, he said that, you know, because a lot of people's like, oh, he clicked, because now that it's out, because that was one of his big defenses, like I said, he mentioned, he's like, a lot of these people criticize and they haven't seen it, but now people have seen it. I watched it, and the leaks are true. The leaks that were out there about how the show was a Teela show, but now they're saying, oh, you have to see the other five episodes. It's definitely a He-Man show. It's like, when the next five episodes are going to be focused on He-Man. So I'm curious about that, because all the He-Man I've seen outside of the first episode, he was either dead or it was flashbacks. So he was in the first episode, they killed him. Then, you know, he was in the other episodes, but he was either in a flashback or she was talking to the dead Adam. She was talking to a dead person. she was in heaven having a conversation with everybody that was up there, was, you know, like Hero and, you know, King Grayskull and all of the, they were all dead people up there. So she was just, it was the sixth sense. She was talking to dead people. So that's what it was. But like I said, they set it up where Adam could go back. He could leave heaven and come back down to Earth or Eternia. And then, you know, King Grayskull even said, "Are you sure, Adam? This is your reward and you won't ever be able to return." And he goes, "Yes, I'm sure." And then, you know, he tried to turn back into He-Man and got stabbed right through the heart by Skeletor. And so now, you know, because that was one of the things, like I said, King Grayskull told him, he's like, if you leave, you can't ever come back. So that means if you die this time, you can't come back to heaven. He goes, "Yes, I'm sure." And he goes back and he gets stabbed. So they killed him twice. Now, Kevin Smith says that the next, that even, you know, the fans, because fans been at him on Twitter, he's been talking about, you know, like I said, he's been doing little Comic-Con panels and whatnot. You know, he did his podcast, and he says that when we see the next five episodes, we will see that he was telling the truth all along, and He-Man is the star. He-Man is the franchise. But these first five episodes are definitely not that. The first five episodes are about Teela. And, you know, like I said, and they killed Orko. And that was another thing. Like, they killed Orko. And Orko, you know, it seemed like the people that made the show, a lot of them didn't really understand He-Man, from which maybe that's because Kevin Smith, by his own admission, wasn't a real He-Man fan. But he, you know, what he said they hired him like 3 years ago when they, you know, Netflix and Hasbro approached him. No, it's not Hasbro, Mattel, but Netflix and Mattel approached him about doing this Netflix show. And he had, you know, he wasn't, like I said, he wasn't a He-Man fan, but he said he watched all the episodes from the time they made the announcement until the time that, up to the launch, he immersed himself. He watched, was this like 130 some episodes of He-Man? So he watched all the episodes. He watched every single episode of He-Man. Boom. So he caught up with it. Hopefully he watched She-Ra too. Cause you know, all those episodes, He-Man appeared in like, I think he appeared in like 20 episodes. There's like 80 episodes of She-Ra, 82 or whatever the fuck. And He-Man appeared in like 20 of those episodes. So hopefully he watched the He-Man episodes and watched the Christmas. They did that Christmas episode where Skeletor, you know, like with the little kids, they went down to Earth. It was weird. Like I said, I hope he, you know, it sounded like he was trying to do his research, but by his own admission in that tweet from like 10 years ago, he wasn't a fan. So when you're watching, and then that was another thing. And when I said that in my video, I was like, that bothers me that he wasn't a fan. It reminded me of Michael Bay with the Transformers movie, when Michael Bay had admitted that he didn't really, you know, he wasn't a Transformers fan, but he wanted to make those movies. As you watch those Transformers movies, you could kind of see that Michael Bay wasn't a Transformers fan. Like when you see the stuff with the Constructicons and how that certain things were portrayed in that movie, you could tell Michael Bay wasn't a Transformers fan. And it showed. And then he took over the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, and you could watch those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, you could tell Michael Bay wasn't a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. So it does matter to me that the person making these shows and, you know, at least enjoys the source material. But he's like, "Oh, well, once they cut the check, I became a fan. I love He-Man now." No, you don't. Just be honest. It's okay. And the show kind of made that abundantly clear, at least to me, that, you know, they're trying to, It you know, did it get a little woke? It may have got a little woke, but it like I said, I'm gonna watch the I don't know when they're putting out the next five episodes. Like I said, hopefully the other five episodes will be released within the next few months. I'll watch those, and then I'll make a final judgment on Masters of the Universe Revelation. But yeah, that's what it is. Well, I guess that's it. I've been running my mouth for a minute. And with that being said, I'm going to wrap this one up. This, like I said, this is episode 102 of the Akari Press podcast. You can, of course, leave me a voicemail. They got some kind of voice. Like I said, you can leave voicemail, applaud, whatever. Anchor.fm/Akari Press. Or you can go on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Akari Press. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, iHeart Radio. Just type in Akari Press wherever you listen to podcasts or stream or whatever. Of course, my comic Dame Drops Super Official. You can get it at damecomic.com, damecomic.com, damecomic.com. Or, of course, my other book, Brand Way of the Gun, at akaripress.com. Take you right there. And again, the good folks over there at southernmuffin.com, go to southernmuffin.com, sit down with your special loved one, your significant other, and kind of rifle through the website and kind of check out what they are offering there. You might find something that'll add a little spice to your life there. But with that being said, this is up. If you want to catch me, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube, all at Akari Press. AkariPress.com will take you to, of course, my Brand Way of the Gun, and DameComic.com will take you to Dame Drop Super Official. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting the podcast. I appreciate it. Yeah, with that, I am out.